Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.
This is the Mid-Morning Empowerment, and we're getting into our first conversation of this morning with Snethemba Phakathi, who joins us on the line to speak to us about a resilient woman. Sneh, good morning once again, and welcome back to the Mid-Morning Empowerment.
Good morning, Bonnie. Thank you for having me back.
It's a blessing to have you back. Now, Sneh, we're talking about a resilient woman, and we know that life throws curveballs, right? And women often find themselves balancing a million things at once. So our question is, how does one build resilience without burning out? That's the million-dollar question. And this is where faith enters, the steady anchor that strengthens us, uplifts us, and inspires us. From handling life's challenges to embracing life's beauty, faith equips women to stand strong no matter the storm. So please speak to us about how faith actually provides a foundation for resilience during difficult times.
Thank you so much for having me, Bonnie, and a very good morning to the listeners once again. So with this question in terms of resilience, we all face difficult times in life. They are bound to happen.
Yeah.
When you look at Proverbs 18, verse 10, it says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are safe." Mm. Right. So when I think of a resilient, how faith helps us build resilience in tough times, I always want to draw from a specific lady in the Bible that I just think shows us the importance of resilience through and through. And this is Mary. We find Mary in the Bible at three different points in her life at the feet of Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. I will first read from Luke 10, verse 38 to 42. It says that as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparation that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it is not to be taken away," right? Mm-hmm. And then we quickly go to John chapter 11, verses 32 to 33. This is where Lazarus had died. And in verse 32, it says, "When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, 'Lord, if you had been there, my brother would not have died.' When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had came along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled." And then the last part is when we read John chapter 12, verses 2 to 3, which says, "Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served." Again, you see Martha is serving.
Yep, yep.
"While Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about half a liter of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it onto Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of his perfume." Then we go to verse 7, which says, where now people are saying, "This is an expensive perfume. What a year's of salary. Why has it been wasted?" Mm. And Jesus said, "Leave her alone. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You always have the poor amongst you, but you will not always have me." So literally, when I look at these three instances where we find Mary in, I see that through it all, one thing about Mary is that she was always at the feet of Jesus.
Mm.
This means that when you look at it at the first instance where her sister Martha was serving and she was at the feet of Jesus,
yeah,
we can look at it because there hadn't been any hardship. But before the hardships were even there, Mary was at the feet of Jesus, learning the word, learning wisdom, getting knowledge, getting the strength that she needs. So when the day of adversity, that was when her brother actually now died, that she was able, she knew who to run to.
Hey.
So even in the day of adversity, you find her running towards the source because she knows that from the lesson that she learned before, this is the only person who can help her get her through this tough time.
Yeah.
But then after that, we see Mary doing something so important that most of us forget to do, mm-hmm. that after we have faced the trial and we have triumphed and we have seen the blessing, we have seen the light at the end of the tunnel, we just say, oh, sharp, okay, everything is fine. But Mary goes back to Jesus and she pours an expensive bottle of perfume on his feet. This is a sign of thanksgiving. Mm. This is Mary showing us that tough times will never last, as we know the famous video from social media says, but tough people do.
Yeah.
So Mary was showing us that at this point, that after you have faced those things, you need to go back to the source, the one who made you, gave you all the strength and all the wisdom to overcome the challenges, and give thanks to him. And from what we hear from scripture, that the perfume that you gave was worth a year's worth of salary, of wages. But to her, it didn't matter, because in that moment, when she looked at that perfume, I'm sure she still found it not to be worthy to be given to Jesus because of all the good things that she has done.
Yes.
So just this is all just to say that whenever we are faced with tough times, our faith that we get from the word of God, even before we face those tough times, is what is supposed to sustain us when we're in those tough times. Mm. And we also need to go back to give, to have a heart of thanksgiving afterwards. Because at the end of the day, faith provides us with inner strength and the ability to face difficulties with courage and peace that surpasses all understanding. The word of God has already said that he will never leave us nor forsake us.
I love that. I love that emphasis on, you know, getting your faith up before the crisis begins, before things fall apart. You already have that relationship with Jesus. It's an easier time, in fact, to build a relationship just based on the fact that you love him and he loves you, rather than there's a crisis, I'm in trouble, I need help, it's urgent. Of course, we know he still hears you, but in terms of your faith is wavering at that point because you don't know him like that. But if you've built that relationship with him before any crisis has struck, then you've already got that knowledge of who he is, so that in the middle of that crisis, you're not panicking because you know him already. It's not a guessing game, like, is he going to come through? I'm not sure. No, you know, because you've come to know him in simpler times. I love that emphasis. Thank you for that. Now, please speak to us on some examples maybe that we can look at from the Bible of resilient women. You just told us about Mary. But what examples can you give us about resilient women who can inspire and guide modern women, like in this modern day?
There are so many women in the Bible.
Yeah.
it becomes very hard to draw inspiration because I feel like every one of them is special in their own way.
Mm.
But we find a woman called Ruth. Ruth is a special character.
Yep.
Ruth was married to the son of Naomi, and when the husband passed away and Naomi was going back to her land, Ruth was like, I am not leaving you.
Mm.
I am going to hold on to you, and your people are going to be my people. So Ruth shows us the importance of loyalty and perseverance, right? Ruth's unwavering loyalty to Naomi and determination to help her rebuild their lives despite the loss and the hardships is a true demonstration of resilience. It also shows us that she trusted God, right? And she embraced her new circumstance with grace. When we look at Ruth 1, verse 16, she says, wherever you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God, right?
Mm.
This, to me, shows us that even when we do not get the finished product that we so desired, we should not stop believing in God's promises.
Yeah.
We should not stop believing that God will deliver us and God will give us the promise and the blessing at the end. So this is just about trusting God and being committed to loved ones that will help you, lead you to restoration and blessings. Then we also see Hannah. Hannah is, I think at almost every woman's conference, she is spoken about because she embodies faith and persistence in prayer. She is a reminder, really, that she, even in her barrenness, where she was not able to conceive or to produce the fruits that she was urged to as a woman by nature, but she still was resilient and she continued to pour out her heart to God in prayer, and her faith was rewarded by the birth of Samuel, right? And then in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 27, she says, I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. This shows us that you should never stop praying in any circumstance. Continue to pray for what you want, and at the end, God will give it to you. Then you find this bold woman in the Bible, the woman with the issue of blood.
Yes.
I think this lady, I just want to most probably have an interview with her and ask her, what made you have such bold faith to think that in such a huge crowd, this lady just said, I have been going through all this the issue of my blood for years now without any healing. And right now, I just need to touch the hem of this man because this is my last hope. Thanks. And for her to be very strategic in her position and what she touches is really an inspiration. But before I digress, she shows us that even in the years of suffering, even after years of suffering, right, that you need to continue believing for your healing, that your faith will make you whole at the end of the day. You know, Mark 5, verse 34, this is where Jesus says, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. This shows us that even when you are facing the most difficult of things and people are judging you and people are saying you're not deserving or you've been going through a lot, give up your faith and everything like that, that you should never let go of it, because at the end of the day, the only thing that is going to free you from your suffering is your faith, right? So at the so from this woman, we are able to draw inspiration. And then just lastly, we can see also Elizabeth, right? Elizabeth remained faithful in faith. She trusted God's timing. She encouraged others and praised him for his faithfulness. And for this, we know that Elizabeth, for those maybe who might not be familiar with the story, she was also a lady who was barren and could not give birth and had been married for years, right? But that did not stop her from praising God. That did not stop her from trusting God's promise. You know, sometimes we get into seasons where we are really not in tune, or rather getting our prayers answered as quickly or as after the other as you'd want to. And then it becomes a source of demotivation for others. Like, why are you still believing in God? Please, God, you know, I've been praying for this, it's not answering. But we see Elizabeth being the total opposite of that. She encouraged others to continuously trust in God, right? And her life showed that the resilience that we have will allow us to grow patience, it allows us to grow gratitude, and it allows us to grow in the reliance of God's promises. And then in Luke 1, verse 37, she says, for no word from God will ever fail. God has promised, and God will surely do it. So that is the inspiration that we can draw from this woman, that in all the adversity that you face, remember that there is no word from God that will ever fail. If God has said it, God will do it, because he is not a man that he should lie. Whatever that he said shall come to pass.
Yo, powerful, powerful. Family, we are having a conversation with the Snare. She's speaking to us here about a resilient woman, and she's just been giving us some examples of women in the Bible who showed us resilience in the circumstances that they faced, and incredible examples all around. If you want to share any that you've drawn inspiration from, you're free to do that on +27734703520. And that's where you can also send any questions or input that you might have on the conversation. Now, Snea, speak to us about how prayer and scripture can help women maintain emotional and mental strength, because we need that, especially in this day and age. We need that kind of strength. How does prayer and scripture help us with that?
You know, the book of God is literally the source of everything. Everything that you need is always there. When we read Joshua 1, verse 8, it says, study this book of instruction continuously. Meditate on it day and night, so that you will be sure of everything written on it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in what you do. This scripture tells us that when you want to succeed, when you want to have that emotional strength, when you want to have that mental strength, you need to be a person who reads the word. You need to be a person who gets into the word, soaks it up. And remember, like I mentioned, like Mary at the beginning, where she was at the feet of Jesus while Martha was busy serving, she was learning from God. And that's why she was able to then offer the gratitude and also run to him when she faced adversities. So this scripture shows us that in all that we do, we need to remember that the word of God is the one that we need to be holding as our stronghold. Then there is another scripture that I want to draw inspiration from. which is Philippians 4, verses 6 to 7. This scripture says, do not worry about anything. Do not worry about anything. I think even if you can just stop it there, but I'll continue. It says, do not worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for what He has done. Then you experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Jesus Christ. Mm. This also shows us that we need to be people who are not filled with anxious hearts and spirits. And whenever you feel like you are filled with thoughts of doubt, with thoughts of fear, with thoughts of lack, and you're not strong, either emotionally, even mentally, remember that is actually a point of a moment in time where you're supposed to be going to God, because it says, don't worry about anything, but in everything, pray to God and tell Him exactly what you want. So in that moment, pray to God and say, God, you did not give me the spirit of fear, of timidity, but of love and of a sound mind. I thank you for the sound mind that I have right now. I thank you that my thoughts are clear. I thank you that I am not anxious, that I am calm, that I am at peace, you know, so that you can be able to also regulate yourself. And also, then you also get into a point where you thank God, and you thank God to say, God, thank you that I have the mind of Christ. Thank you that I am more than a conqueror. Mm. Thank you that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. So you see that now, because I have studied the word, as Joshua 1 says, whenever now I feel in a space of lack, I then go to God and I pray to Him and I tell Him exactly what I want. Then I also thank Him using the scripture that He has given me. Because at the end of the day, we need to go back to God using His scripture and telling Him that, hey, God, this is what you say. I have nothing but your word to believe. Then the last scripture in Proverbs 23, verse 7, I'll just read the first part. It says, for as a man thinks in his heart, so is he in behavior. Mm. So remember that whatever you think about yourself, that is who you are ultimately going to be. If you tell yourself that I am not worthy, I am not enough, I am not deserving, I am filled with fear, I am filled with this, I am not good looking, that is exactly how you're going to show up. That's why the Bible says that you need to constantly renew your mind. How do you then renew your mind? You renew your mind by getting into the Word of God, getting those declarations about who God says you are. God says that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. God says that you are the head and not the tail. And when you feel like your own words are betraying you and they are contradicting what God has said, I personally think it's better to then believe God's word and confess God's word than to believe what my own mind is trying to convince
me. Very
you.
True.
So I think, that's how we can use the scriptures to then build our mental and emotional state.
I love that. And you know what? The funny thing is that for many of us, it's easier to accept these kind of new agey kind of teachings of, you know, affirmations and things like that. And yet the Bible speaks to something similar, but it's based on God's word. It's not just based on what I wish for. Mm. Like, I am this, I am that. But what does the Bible say? Who does the Bible say that you are? So it's kind of a similar idea, but it's based on what God says. Rather than just on what I wish or what society says I should be or what society says I should aspire to, but who does God say that I am? And using that to kind of strengthen your self-identity based on who God says you are. I love that. Now, what about community then? How does community contribute in helping women build and maintain resilience? Sometimes I feel like it actually does the opposite. Society almost destroys a woman's resilience. But let's talk about how community can help to build a woman's resilience.
Well, we know them is an island. We all need our community. And communities can be big, communities can be small. Communities serve different purposes at different times. I mean, just a typical example, you grew up in a certain community. When you went to varsity, you were in a certain community. Yeah. When you started working, you were in a certain community. So it shows you that at different times in your life, you do need to draw inspiration from different communities.
Yeah.
So community is important. But before I get into that, I think maybe I might have done a disservice to the listeners by not, because we've been speaking about resilience, but we haven't really defined what resilience is. And resilience is the ability to recover. It is the ability to adapt to, and to thrive in the face of any challenge, right, or adversity. And it involves mental, emotional, and spiritual strength to persevere and remain hopeful despite this difficulty. So definitely the question of resilience on its own. When you are down and out, I don't think you are at a point where you can be able to provide your mental and your emotional strength and your spiritual strength all at once.
Yeah.
That's where then community comes in, because community provides emotional support. It provides a well of wisdom, and it becomes a resource hub that helps you to draw inspiration and to draw testimonies from other people on how they've been able to overcome. It also, more than anything, I think this is the most important, it fosters a sense of belonging. You know, they always say that there is comfort in numbers, to know that, oh, I'm not the only one who's going through this. We can all be able to collectively work together and support each other. We see the importance of community again from Esther, who was empowered by the support of her people, and they helped her to overcome the life-threatening decision. And she asked them to fast and pray with her when they're faced with adversity. And that spiritual unity gave her the strength to approach the king and then plead for her people. This shows that we need, whenever there's a united community and that prays together, though we are always empowered to be bold and to be able to act in a way that embodies courage, that embodies how we are not feeling on the inside. It gives you that physical strength to say, I can be able to do anything. The other lady that was surrounded by a community is Dorcas, also known as Tabitha. Her resilience through serving, through service and the community that she loved, helped her to get a second chance in life. You know, Dorcas was a disciple, and she was known for her kindness and generosity, for food, clothes, and for the widows. And when she passed away, it was her community that mourned deeply and sought Peter to bring her back to life. This then shows us that a community is really important, because they give you another chance. They give you the ability for you to get another chance in life. They give you a fresh perspective, a fresh a thought and direction in life. And they also resurrect something that might have died in you when you were facing that resilience. It also shows that at the end of the day, we all need to be kind to one another, because we don't know what we're going through. And your kindness at the end of the day is what can actually save you in a life and death situation. So these examples really show us how that communities play a vital role in fostering our spiritual support and encouragement. And they inspire us to uplift our communities and create a circle of strength and support.
Beautiful, beautiful. And I guess there's also intentionality in terms of creating that community, building the community that you want to surround you. So not just accept everything that is thrown at you, or every, you know, every so-called friendship or relationship that you might find yourself forced into because of proximity and things like that, but to be intentional about the kind of community that you want to be a part of, I think, is also very important.
Definitely.
Now, how can faith-based resilience lead to personal growth and a stronger relationship with God?
I think we have kind of partly answered this question, so I'll just keep it brief. Because faith-based resilience, it fosters personal growth and allows us to be closer to God by teaching us that it is important to be reliant on God's strength and on God's promises during adversity. It challenges us as individuals to deepen our lives when it comes to prayer, when it comes to trusting in God's timing, when it comes to embracing His purpose. And the thing is, as we overcome these trials and those adversities, right, with the faith that we have, then we're able to develop a deeper level of spiritual maturity. You know, when we speak about the words of God, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nisi, the more that you face adversity, the more that you see the character of God being at play in your life. So then now you get, when you give your testimony, you're able to say, I've seen God providing for me. I've seen God healing me. I've seen God restoring me. I've seen God doing this. I've seen God doing that. So then that becomes your testimony, because the Bible also does say that you are set, your life needs to be a living testimony of how good God has been to you. So, and when people see you do, because whenever God blesses you, he doesn't just bless you for yourself, but he also blesses you for your community and for the people that are surrounding you, so that they can draw inspiration from what he has done for you or through you. So then that process on its own, it then strengthens our bond with him and helps us cultivate a life that is rooted in gratitude, like we saw from Mary with the experience of awe and of hope and of unwavering trust. Because in James 1, verse 2 to 3, it says, consider it pure joy, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance.
Amen. Amen.
So when you face adversity, be joyful and be like, thank you, God, that I'm going to get to know a deeper level of myself, you know. Wow. Because sometimes that's what we need. You don't know that you are a person of such bold character. Do you know that you pay for 3 hours until you're faced with that financial problem and your fridge was empty, and then you started declaring that the fridge is full. So,
In 1 minute, if there's, you know, there might be someone out there who's listening, a young woman listening, and she's saying, you know what, Sne, beautiful, I love that, sounds great, love it for you, but I'm tired. I'm really tired, and I'm tired of being strong. I don't want to be one of God's strong soldiers. What would you say to that young woman out there who just needs that extra push of encouragement, who's been through it?
It's okay to be tired. It's okay to be down and out. You know, I was listening to a video yesterday, and you were saying that about 3/3 of the Psalms, it's just David crying to God, saying, hey, God, I am tired.
Yeah.
And in, I think it's Psalm 88 where David says, sadness has become my best friend. So it's okay to be tired. But remember that when you are tired, don't be tired and leave God. But that is when you need to seek him and be honest with him and say, God, I'm tired. I have been going through this, and I don't have the strength in me. Give me the strength, give me the ability, and show me what I need to be doing this season. And sometimes, maybe God might not be speaking to you, or might not be able to hear from you in the season. And that's where the importance of community comes in.
Yeah.
Because when you draw on your community and tell them that, you know, guys, you know, this past year has just dealt with me in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
I need you to be my stronghold. I need you to interface on my behalf. And that's where maybe your salvation or even your freedom can even come. We see the story of one of the four friends, when one of who went up to Jesus, not went up, who threw the ascent from the roof for Jesus to heal him. So it shows that in that moment where the friend was not able to walk for himself because of the ailment that he had, he had a community of people who knew where to take him. So that's where then it becomes important for your friend to mention you in prayer, for your community to say, God, remember with me, as she's going through this, please give her the strength, please give her the courage, and please give her this. And then just trust in the Lord. Those wait upon the Lord, their strength will be renewed and they will soar on high like eagles. It sounds cliche. It sounds like, oh my God, not again.
Yeah.
But honestly, at the end of the day, when you look back at all the challenges that you thought, I'm not going to face, I'm never going to make it out of this, you can see that God has truly carried you.
Amen. Sne, thank you so much for your time and for such a beautiful conversation. I do hope that our listeners have been blessed by that. And of course, family, if you have any comments, you can send those through to +27734703520. Sne, I wish we could go on forever, but we have to let you go now. Thank you so much for your time. God bless you. Have a great day.
Thank you so much for having me, Bonnie. Have a great day, Soda.
Absolutely.
You are tuned in to Mid Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.